I mean, I just have to say that I was moved to share something this Sabbath during the fellowship hour regarding entertainment. And when I heard what you said, brother, you know, regarding the distractions that Satan uses to move us off the path with entertainment, I had my confirmation to share this because I had no idea what the Lord was going to move you to say. But the Holy Spirit not only moved me to share what I'm about to share, He moved you to say what you said. It's just amazing the way one mind, brother. One mind. He does it every Sabbath. It's just, you know, from the children's story all the way to the fellowship hour. And again, everybody, please, you know, tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, you know, we're going to meet for prayer and then Christ our righteousness, which is also no mistake for us to read in regards to some of the things that Sister White says about that and what happened in 1888 and how people literally that used to be part of our number tried to, and did successfully stop us from reading from Christ our righteousness a couple of years ago. But only temporarily, because until their minds could get right, or the Lord would cast them off, you know, out of the camp, we only placed it on the back burner. And we've done that before, too, where we just, and I remember one time, while things were heating up in a meeting we had some years ago, and that happened again recently, probably not about a year ago, and it happened on the exact same date, about a year ago, where we had this big old argument, and to the point where I just, you know, I jumped on the mic and says, "This meeting's adjourned. This is over. This, it's not going the way the Lord would have it go." And then I found out later from Brother Eli and Brother Alvin that the exact same thing happened to the leaders in the SDA church on the exact same date. You know, 100 years ago or so. It's amazing how the Lord is moving this church family and how He's moving in our hearts and everything. And again, like Pastor Alvin said a minute ago, I'm going to put the link in the room one more time. And I got a couple of emails from some folks, and I'm hoping you're hearing me. Check your email, Sister... what was her, Alicia, Sister Lisa, yeah. Check your email, and there's a special page on the website. I just put it in the room, because this could be our last camp meeting. And for those of you that don't go to camp meetings because you think people are going to pass the plate and hit you up for money, we don't ask for donations. That's not an issue with us. We never ask. We know what the Christian's duty is when it comes to love, you know, tithings and love offerings, and we might share that once or twice a year to let them know, because we get babes that come in. But yeah, we never ask for donations unless it's for someone that's in need, like a brother or sister in the church that ended up homeless or something, or car broke down, they couldn't, you know, fix it or something. Like, I mean, totally destitute kind of situations. Then yeah, we ask the church family to help them. But even that is few and far between. But the days are coming when it's going to happen often. Well, I can see all of us doing the same thing. And that's how Barnabas got introduced into the church, where he sold everything he had and he just let it go to help the Christians, the newly converted Jews that became Christians, that because in so doing, they were kicked out of the Jewish economy. They became homeless, no ability to buy and sell food or nothing. No income, nothing, not even a place to live. Those days are coming for us as well. And so, which really concerns me, because there are people in the church family that they don't appear to believe stuff like that for some reason. Some don't even tithe. But again, we're not going to demand anybody tithe. That's on them. It's not on us. And so, but yeah, click that link, RSVP. It's just a page that when you click the RSVP graphic that I made, it'll bring you to a forum and you let us know you know, how many people are going to be coming with you. And we have reserved quite a few cabins more than last year because we had the biggest camp meeting ever last year. And we reserved quite a few. And if you can pay for your own cabin, that's great. If you can't, let us know. We'll get together, and you know, like we did last year. All the cabins got filled. And so, yeah, we're there to be together. We're not there to make a buck. Because, again, it's not an issue. And some people say, oh, stop mentioning it because you're acting like you're acting for don't, no, you know, be quiet with statements like that. No. Because I don't want people refusing to come because they think they're going to get hit up. No. That's not why we gather. And I don't want anybody even think that. It's just disgusting because that's the way this world is. I mean, there's people out there that literally say, you got to buy my book if you want to find the proper path to get home to heaven. Now, I think that's a book you want to avoid. Because if you sell the book to where the only way you're going to tell them about Jesus and how to get home is if they pay you, Simon Magus, because that's what you are. You're a preacher of filthy lucre, like all the 501c3 preachers out there. That's why they're so blind now. They worship the dollar. They truly worship, think they're worshiping God, but they're also worshiping mammon. Yeah, every now and then I'm seeing the same thing, Brother Arthur, that the chat room is lagging kind of rough. But that happens every now and then. There's nothing I get. I'm running three different internets here. And it's just, you know, it's any man's guess as to which one's going to get cattywampus. And so I never use the one that's running the main server because it's got such low bandwidth. If I use that, yeah, even the sites will go down. But I got the other two because of my crummy internet from the main system and hopefully they're actually going to do what they promised to do. And we're past the half point on this year. So I'm hoping within the next month or so that internet will be solid, you know, 4G LTE, you know, so. Yeah, amen, Brother Austin, yeah. Pastors will literally, from the pulpit, say a tiny part of a prophecy and then say, to find out more about the prophecy and what God says will happen in the coming days, buy my book. No, don't buy that book because that's, you know, it's ridiculous. And I can understand why, like in the beginning of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Sister White literally said to sell the books because back then it wasn't so much like they were asking for donations. They were going to use the money to print more books because they were honest to the core. And I was even thinking about doing that once in a while, you know, like my book, People Get Ready, and the new book I'm working on now, or finished, more or less. I'm just crossing some T's and dotting I's. But, you know, about Sunday Laws - The Loud Cry, or Sunday Sabbath - The Loud Cry. That's the first chapter is in this week's blog. I put it up day before yesterday, I think. I don't know. But because if people buy it, they'll read it. Kind of a thing. And back then, you know, 10 cents donation. Today, you know, somebody might, like some people will send, you know, they get the newsletter, and again, the newsletter is free. And some people will send $1 or $2, literal dollar bills, in an envelope, and that helps, you know, to get the newsletter out. But again, you don't have to send anything at all. But some people are moved by the Holy Spirit to do it, like the old saying goes, if you need it, he's going to give it. If you don't need it, you won't get it. Some months you're going to need a lot of money. All of a sudden the donations are really high in one month. And then we find out, wow, we got this massive bill and didn't even know it was coming, but our Lord did. So. Yeah, amen to that, Sister Pam. Yeah, if it's no car Sunday, but boy, they didn't say nothing about no flying Sunday, you know, airplane Sunday. You know, even though airplanes use kerosene, I mean, it's a lot cheaper than gas. But, yeah, and they can run cars on that too. You can run cars on vegetable oil. literally, you know, on water for that matter, hydrogen generators. That's why they killed that one guy who refused to sell them the, how he invented it. What was the guy? His first name was William, I think. Anyway, he built a dune buggy that every spark plug was a little miniature hydrogen generator. Filled up the gas tank with water, drove down the road. And the exhaust on that is pure oxygen and literal H2O dripping out of the back. And the best water to use would be salt water, you know, sea water. You got, you know, 3/4 of the planet is the fuel for the engines. That would literally benefit the planet. But you can't regulate that. Somebody can pull over to a creek and fill up. No, they want to have to, you know, they want to make money. So, yeah. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, what's this link that Brother Joe put in the room? So don't forget, everybody, to World Car-Free Day on 22nd of September, a great opportunity to reduce air pollution. The CO2 levels in the atmosphere are the exact same they were about a year or two before they invented the Model T in 1910. And I got that on the side. You know, a bunch of scientists got together and proved that. It's ridiculous. But people fall for it, just like they're falling for Sunday being the Sabbath for some reason. They actually believe that, fall to all. So, okay. Okay, let's, anyway, so I'm gonna share this here with you all. Because again, like I said, I was moved to share something this Sabbath. And, when Pastor Alvin was preaching what he was preaching, it was just like, well, here's my confirmation. Yeah, give up smoking. Yeah. To stop air pollution. So, but anyway, as we know, Satan has been distracting humans for 6,000 years, but he's never done it as graphically as he's doing it in our day with these entertainment machines in our pockets that most call cell phones. And that's why they gave the television back in the 40s when it was invented. I think about 10 or 15 years after it was invented, it was called the boob tube. And, but boob didn't mean what it meant back then. Like today it means something else. But back then it meant you're an idiot. You're a boob, you know, and that was a boob tube. It turned you into an idiot because you just sat there and let someone else speak and you just listen. At least get an audio book if you want to go that way. But, and it literally is these, entertainment machines. And did you know this? The cathode ray tube, the CRT, that was in every television, that still works really good. You just can't really get high def out of it, but they still work great. And in computer monitors, the only problem with the monitors is because of lettering on the screen, staying on the screen for any length of time, it would burn in. And that's why screensavers were invented, to stop the burn in. I don't know if everybody remembers back in the day when you would go to a store and, you know, and they would type something on the screen. Even if the power went out, it looked like the screen was still on because all the lettering on the screen was burned in. You could shut the monitor off and it would still stay on the screen. But instead of being like amber lettering, like or like green lettering, it was black with like a gray background because the monitor was turned off. It was burned in. The phosphorus was burned up, which was dangerous because a lot of people don't know this. The cathode ray tube is the exact same tube that they use in the X-ray machine. You're sitting there watching a television with that CRT tube, you know, or a monitor, computer monitor, and it's right there in your face. It's pointing right at you, and it's throwing X-rays directly at you. And the only reason you didn't get dosed and die from the radiation of the X-ray is because they would put phosphorus on the inside of the tube, like a powder, to prevent the rays from coming out and hitting you. Yeah, idiot box. Amen to that. So, But, okay. So let me, wait, hold on a second here. Let me get this here. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sabbath blessings to you too, Brother Tim. And sorry to hear about your phone. It kept cutting out. He's bad signal, I guess. And, Sister Marie was having issues getting in too. And I noticed the stream started, dropping frames, but it picked up really quick. Because I keep the, you know, I keep the frame rate down extremely low on my streams because we don't use videos. It's just text coming in and web pages, and so it's not going to affect when, unless I do transfer, you know, changing one stream to the next. You'll see a little pixelation, but who cares? It clears itself up within 3 seconds. So who cares what it looks like? We're here for the truth. We're not here for the graphics. So anyway, let me put this in the room here. This is from Review and Herald. Hope this first paragraph fits. 1894. January 30th, 1894. Again, I messed up. January 6th. Oh, no. Yeah. January 30th, 1894, but it's paragraph 6. Let me put it in the room. And we all need to hear this because every one of us got those little entertainment machines in our pockets now. They're called cell phones, right? But, okay, look, it's lagging again. There it goes. Okay, so this is what it says. And this is one of those fellowship hours that it's going to be on the site. I didn't put last week's fellowship hour because we were just gabbing. You know, it wasn't really worth anything. So, but thanks, Joe, for recording it anyway. I just didn't feel right about putting it on the server. So, but this is what it says. Okay, let me get this other one ready to go if I need it. Okay, all right. It says, among the students, the spirit of fun and frolic was indulged. They became so interested in playing games that the Lord was crowded out of their minds. And Jesus stood among you in the playground, saying, oh, that thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. You remember how he said that to the Jews when he was standing on that hill looking down at the city? She goes on by sharing what Christ said. He says, ye also have seen me and believed not. And then she says, yes, Christ revealed himself to you. And deep impressions were made as the Holy Spirit moved upon your hearts. But you pursued a course by which you lost these sacred impressions and failed to maintain the victory. So she's obviously rebuking somebody in a very loving way that, you know, their romping frolicking got them to fall off the path. And then she again quotes from the Word and it says, all that the Father giveth me, shall come to me, and him, and I love that part, because he even prays for us in John 17, but it says that all that the Father giveth me, and he's talking about you, and he's talking about me, the Father gave us to his Son. Isn't that beautiful? He gave everybody, obviously, but some of us says, no thanks, no, I'll hang out over here, I don't want to be part of that, because you know, everyone's got free will. But all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And then she says to whoever she's rebuking here, she says, you began to come to Christ, but you did not abide in Christ. And we know a lot of people like this. We've had people that were on fire for a couple, 3 weeks. That truly is a phase that they go through. Couple, 3 weeks. I remember a young man that came out here one time visiting us. He was on fire and everything was great. And all of a sudden, a couple, 3 weeks later, he went back to drinking and we became a cult. And he was slamming us left and right. It's not the first time and it won't be the last. But that's just how this world works. She goes on to say that you forsook him. And the realization you had of the great favors and blessings he had given you was lost from your heart. I talked to people, this one couple, I think it was about a year ago. Oh, it just brought me to tears. Seriously, because I love them dearly. And the woman was healed. We laid hands on her. She was crippled, paralyzed. We laid hands on her. She drifted off to sleep. Not long after that, she was doing the dishes. And I mentioned that recently. He didn't even remember it. Didn't remember it at all. Didn't believe it happened. And it happened before many witnesses. It was very graphic. Even the doctors had no clues of how that happened. They messed up an epidural, stabbed her spine a little bit too deep, and she was from the neck down. It was a pain paralyzation, which means if you moved your head, your entire body would go into convulsions of pain. But it was lost from their heart. Like Sister White says here, great favors and blessings he had given you was lost from your heart. And so we continue to pray. Because we know. We know everybody's got a chance. Because we also know what Sister White said in that one book about what God can do in a moment. He can do in a moment that we can't do in an entire lifetime. So just keep praying. So the question, she goes on to say, the question of amusement occupied so large a place in your minds that after the solemn visitation of the Spirit of God, you entered into its discussion with such great zeal that all barriers were broken down, and through your passion for games, you neglected to heed the word of Christ. Now keep this in mind. These are games in the 1800s. These aren't like these graphic, these high-definition graphic video games. I don't know what they look like now, but I can only imagine how like as the shoot 'em up, bang 'em up stuff that we used to get into back in the day when we were we found out that like at a game called Doom. I think we were still Sunday Keepers at the time. No, yeah. I think we had just started keeping Sabbath and we didn't know the dangers of the games yet. And found a daemon. It's called the Daemon Wad on the CD, and I was able to crack it. And we were able to play the game in the house with Ethernet cabling, you know, just crossover cabling, because there was no internet yet. And the graphics were pretty good, you know, pixelated pretty badly, but blood squirting and stuff like that kind of. But today, I'm thinking it's pretty graphic. I don't know what the games look like now. I don't care. That's mesmerizing, hypnotizing. There's kids in China dying while they play these games because it's so addicted. This was all the thing in the news about 2-3 years ago. It's still happening, but they stopped talking about it, just like they stopped talking about kids getting, you know, kidnapped, molested, and murdered. On a regular basis, it started happening in the early 80s in the Chicago area. And it became old news, and so they just went to something else. Kids are still getting killed. But yeah, these kids were dying in China, still are, where they'll literally play these games for days without sleep. That'll kill you. She goes on to say, and she quotes the word here, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Because they neglected to heed the word of Christ, to watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. She says, the place that should have been occupied by Jesus was usurped by your passion for games. You chose your amusement instead of the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You did not follow the example of Jesus who said, I am come down from heaven. Not to do not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And some people say, oh, that's old-fashioned. That's just, you know, religiosity. That's, you know, a little bit overboard. You know, Jesus freak. You know. when we get to heaven, it's not going to be considered like that. And it's already as it, that isn't the case in our minds now or our hearts now, because it really is a peaceful place to be. Case in point, I remember when I started studying the Bible, it was like pulling teeth to figure out what verse 1 meant before I go to verse 2. And then one day, as I was in midday prayer, because, yeah, I kind of started that early, the Lord revealed to me, get rid of those televisions. Think about this. We were in a 1,011-day house at this time. And it was the entire home. It was 2 bedrooms for all 10 of us, you know, wife and 8 kids. For all 10 of us, it was about the size of an office that I used to run telemarketing from. The bedrooms were so small that like, for example, we took the little bit smaller room for my wife and I, where we took a queen bed, not a king bed, a queen bed mattress, and dropped it in the room, and we couldn't put the frame in. We had to sleep on the floor because there was no room for the frame, because then it wouldn't fit. It was literally wall-to-wall mattress. It was just a rough time. But the thing is, in that small of a house, we had 6 televisions. We got rid of them all. And then when we finally moved away, we ended up putting 1 television back in the house because we didn't know any better. And the main reason we got rid of the televisions is because out of all 10 of us, myself and 3 or 4 of the other kids, and I think my wife did too, I don't remember, but 4 or 5 of us all together had the exact same dream in one night. And the dream was we were watching television and a bunch of blood was coming out of the television and just filling the home while we were sitting in there in the blood. We got rid of the TVs. And the only reason we put it back in when we moved away is because we're out in the middle of nowhere in the boondocks. Far as the eye can see, you saw corn or soybean. That was it. Kids were bored out of their gourd. I mean, they were just literally, it was just crazy boredom. And then when we found out that you can only pick up 2 channels where we lived, channel 27 and channel 55, and 27 was a little bit more stable than 55. And, yeah. And it was mostly news and stuff like that. And we monitored what was being played on the television. And it was, you know, it was easier to understand the Bible all of a sudden. Because no more, you know, the crazy movies we stopped watching when we were in the Chicago area in that 1011 house. Our minds weren't filled with the crud, like Elisha said before he went to prayer. He says, send me a menstrual. I got to get this crud out of my head, you know, because it's just, you want to be able to understand the Bible? Stop watching YouTube. Stop playing those video games and stop watching TV. And you'll see how you'll have plenty of room now to understand that which is written. Yeah, amen, Brother Austin. The devil had a vision, and he called it tell-a-vision. And it's why, and it's no mistake that they call the television events, if you will, or the shows, they call them programs. Because they're programming you. It's indoctrination. I mean, seriously, why call it a television? Especially when we know what the word vision means and the word tell. Nobody caught on. I mean, I just found out, like Brother Austin putting it in there, but I just found out about that statement. Wasn't that one guy said it, that Paul Harvey, yeah, said that. He's the one, and I heard that statement he made about the devil having that meeting, and I think he mentioned the word tell-a-vision. Yeah. Amen, Sister Soom. The soap operas wash your brain. They're brainwashers. All right, let me put this next paragraph in. And I'm hoping that this has got to be for somebody. Somebody in this church family has an issue here. Because why else would the Holy Spirit tell me about 4 or 5 days ago to do this, to share this, and then he said, I don't watch TV. You know, and then Brother Elvin to say what he said in the sermon. Wow. Oh, Paul Harvey's wife was SDA. I kind of had a feeling there was some kind of SDA thing going on with that guy. because he kind of could see, he could see things, you know, most people miss. Okay, I already put it in the room, but, you know, it's lagging today for some reason. I'm riding on the exact same, oh no, oh yes I am, it's fine. I'm riding on the same internet that the chat room's on, so it's going to be a little slow. Anyway, okay, this next paragraph says, and again, for those of you that are just joining us, it's Review and Herald, January 30th, 1894, but now it's paragraph 7. And this is what it says. It says, the minds of many are so bewildered with their own human desires and inclinations, and they have been so in the habit of indulging them, that they cannot comprehend the true sense of the Scriptures. That kind of person becomes their own worst enemy. They don't want to believe it because that's not the way they were taught. That's not the way they want the Bible to say. That's Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. They're going to read the Bible the way they want to read it. It's going to say what they want it to say. That's why billions of people think Sunday's the Sabbath when there's not a single Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation to say it is. That's why the Vatican said what it said like a century or so ago. I put it on the blog this week. I let the Vatican have it say first on this book I wrote, where they're saying that if you Protestants out there really want to be Protestant and you're all about sola scriptura and you say the Bible and the Bible only, then why is it you still hold to the indefensible claim that you're protesting against the Roman Catholic Church when you are keeping our Sabbath, they said. Because the Roman Catholic Church admitted in running, they invented the Sunday Sabbath. And he says, you guys are sola scriptura, but yet from Genesis to Revelation, there's not a single Bible verse to back up the Sunday Sabbath. Talk about television. Yeah, If I Were the Devil, that's the one from Paul Harvey. Yeah. And he waxes prophetic in that statement he made in 1969. He talks about stuff that's happening today. That's why I says, I wonder if this guy's got any kind of SDA connection. And now I find out his wife was SDA. Amazing. And so the people, because they indulge in their own assumptions, can't comprehend the true sense of Scripture. She goes on to say that many suppose that in following Christ, they will be obliged to gloomy and disconsolate, whatever. I don't know. Never saw that word before. But, and then she says, because they are required to deny themselves the pleasures and follies that the world indulge in. And I remember those 18 months when I was trying to clean up my act. Before I started cleaning up my act, even trying, I was tempted by Satan in that area as well. If I become a Christian, I'm going to have to quit this, quit that, quit this, and quit that. And I like all these things. They're fun. But then when I found Christ and He delivered me from all of them, I found out I really didn't want to do those things. It really was a lot more peaceful, and happiness was... You don't have to be giddy and, you know, and have all this ha-ha-ha fake. I mean, think about it. The sitcoms on the television, even back in, I don't know if they probably still do it to this day, laugh tracks. They literally program you to laugh at something that ain't funny. They have all these laugh tracks going on. It's all canned laughter. Because they can't even come up with stuff that's genuinely going to make you laugh. They have to make you think it's funny. And so you get enticed by it and get engrossed by it. I remember one time this one man that used to visit us on a regular basis and literally spend Sabbath with us every now and then. Him and his wife were truckers. And I remember one time, and this is way early on, Sabbath keeping, we still had that one TV in the house, and it was on this one day. And I noticed how, and I was watching him, and he didn't notice I was watching him. And it was some silly stuff that I can't remember what it was. It was a commercial or something like that, because I mostly just would only have the news on. And he got transfixed like a little kid. He was Seventh-day Adventist, or ex-Seventh-day Adventist, and he was SDR. You know, this was very early in the church's infancy. And I thought, whoa, he got locked in fast. It was just like, boom, he couldn't even walk past. He stopped dead in his tracks and just stared at that commercial. Like it totally transfixed him. That's what it's designed to do. And so people think that this stuff, oh, this is great. I don't want to give up this. Not realizing once you find Christ, there's things you can do you never thought possible. There's things you can see you never thought even existed. And like with the atheists, for example, they can't contemplate when we say to them, I met Jesus. Okay, granted, he's not standing in front of me glowing in his glory, but I heard his voice. And I heard, you know, him, you know, I also have experienced the Holy Spirit. Many times, we all have, but they can't contemplate that. That makes it just silly. That's crazy. Yeah. It's just like when a man who's born blind all of a sudden has the ability to see things he never saw before. That's what it's like when you find Christ. It's like, why didn't anybody ever tell me about all this? This is amazing. And that's why people, when they find Christ, they get on fire. And some people go, ah, it's just a phase you're going through. He's a Jesus freak all of a sudden, right? And some of them, yeah, it is a phase. They give up because all of a sudden their friends are shunning them or making fun of them or their parents or their siblings or something. And they go back to their old ways because they can't contemplate losing all those loved ones. But Jesus did say, if you love them more than you love him, then you're not worthy of him. And he can't give you those blessings and those amazing things that you were seeing happening all stop instantly. And you're back to that humdrum, anxiety-filled, peaceless world. Think about that. The peace of Jesus is so real that some people literally were singing while they're on fire when they're putting him at the stake. And or 500 million Christians. I know the books say 50 million, and I know the books say 100 million, but I also know what Fox's Book of Martyrs say before it got edited. It said 500 million. And it makes sense. Because today, the Muslims, under the guidance of Rome, kill over 200,000 a year. Do the math. 200,000 a year. For 1,260 years, yeah, you're going to reach that 500 million, no problem. But yet these people let them be, they let the Vatican torture and kill them. Seriously, that's the kind of peace Jesus offers. We're walking towards the plague. I mean, we're sliding on a greased rail right now, headed right to the plagues. And right before the plagues, the persecution is going to go off the chart. But yet, do you think anybody in this church family is scared about that? No. Because we know the peace of Jesus is real. He'll help us get through that. As a matter of fact, he was talking to me about this just the other day when I was in prayer. I was just sharing it with Fran earlier. I was kneeling at the side of the bed and, you know, ended up going a little bit too long. So it was pretty late before I put my head down. And he reminded me the one time that I was looking at some many years behind bars for something I honestly did that was a crime before I found Christ. And when I got busted and all this other stuff, literally up against the wall, no job, no money, no car, nothing. Wife and 8 kids. I think at the time we only had 7 kids. And I couldn't pay the fine. I got probation. It's like 5 years and a $5,000 fine. I couldn't pay it. So I was sending $50 a month whenever I could. And every 6 months, the parole officer insisted I would go down there and fill out all the paperwork. And this is, you know, you got to understand something. I'm 3.5 hours away. The Lord called us away. We already started out a little home church. Everything was going great. But I'm still paying that fine going down there. And the only reason I bring this up, because I was in prayer about this the other night, and I said, I'm concerned for myself, I'm concerned for my brothers and my sisters. And when I say brothers and sisters, I'm talking about family, too, that believe. And I'm saying, you know, the plagues are coming, Father. Some of us are going to end behind bars. Some of us might not be able to handle it. And then he reminded me of Bridgeview. This one time I had to go down there to the parole officer, and I was already a year or two into this probation thing, and I only got like, I don't know, you do the math, $50 a month for, you know, 2 years. What is that, $600 a year? $1,200 is all I paid so far. 2 years into it, maybe, tops. And she says, yeah, well, you got to go see the judge. I says, why? That never happened before. She says, yeah, well, you got a new judge assigned to your case. His name is something, something. I can't remember his first name, but his last name was Lynch. I go, great. The guy's a hanging judge, right? She goes, yeah, he's got a bit of an attitude. As a matter of fact, there was a guy in here last week that had the exact same situation you have. Couldn't pay the bill, paying it $50 a month. And he says, you got 30 days to pay up, or you're getting so many, I can't remember how many years behind bars. And that concerned me. I says, all right. Not only did I have to go to the last courtroom, which was a huge, 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 this building was massive. It's like 5 stories out in the middle of nowhere. It was a Bridgeview Courthouse on 103rd in Harlem. And I walk all the way down. The last courtroom on the left. And then, because my last name starts with a P, I got to sit there and listen to every court case, and he's throwing guys behind bars left and right, right? And so I'm in prayer. And I says, I'm concerned. I don't want to leave my wife and kids for a few years, and they're on their own, and they'll all be scared and stuff like that. And I don't want to go to – I've been in jail before, and it's not a fun place to be. And then as I'm walking towards the courtroom, it hit me. But would you do it for me? The kind of thought came to my mind. I says, Father God, not a problem. I will go then. If you want me to go to jail, I will go, because if you're telling me to go, then there's someone that needs to hear what I got to say. Because you're going to give me whatever I need to say to cut that heart of that soul. And instantly, all the peace of Jesus was on me, like no fear, no anxiety, nothing. I was just ready. I figured it was going to happen. No problem. And then the devil tried to tempt me the whole time I was in that courtroom, listening to all those cases of people getting thrown behind bars. Wives crying, moms crying, all this stuff, right? I come walking up. Last guy in the courtroom, because of my last name, right? Because they did things alphabetically. And I come walking up. And he asked me some questions. And I told him what was going on and how the Lord had moved me to do this and do that. And I'm not ashamed of my Jesus. And so I spoke him boldly. He says, yeah, I started a home church. We're doing this. We're doing that. And he said some Latin term. He says, oh, great. The guy's Catholic. And he goes, you know what that means? I says, nope. Sorry, Your Honor. Don't know what it means. And he says, case dismissed. Inability to pay. And the tears started flowing. And that's what the Lord reminded me of the other night. For us. When we're coming to that day, brothers and sisters, when they throw us behind bars or drop us on a guillotine, you're not going to have any fear. It was gone. And when I needed him the most, Christ was there. And so even if I have to go behind bars in the coming days for some crime that they'll make up, of course, because look what they did to our Lord, our Savior, our King. Accused him and literally killed him for a crime he never committed, because they wanted him dead. Just like they're going to want us dead, because they can't shut us up. They can't refute what is written. Sure, they're passing laws just like they did 2 weeks ago that says you cannot preach certain areas of the Christian Bible in America because it's illegal. It's a hate statement to say that the Jews were instrumental in getting Jesus on that cross. Sorry, that's the truth. Isaiah 53, yeah, they hate that, mostly. But Acts 5:29, I'm just going to echo what Peter and James said, and John. I will obey God rather than you. I'm going to do what my God says. If he wants me to preach the truth about the Jews, I will. Not like that is my message or anything, but I will expose Rome. I'll do what I'm called to do, and there will be no fear. And I praise his name that he gave me that answer the other night, because I'm concerned for all of us, myself included. We're so close. They're literally talking about Sunday laws for next year. Yeah, they're calling it Sabbath laws, but we know where they're going with that. And brothers and sisters, when I finally crawled into the bed and I'm laying there and I'm talking to him about this, that, or whatever, and I'm saying, thank you for the way you're having me help this person or help that person in ways I never did before. I mean, because I keep asking for more love and discernment and gentleness and calmness. I want to be a soft-spoken man, you know, just like Christ. And, you know, I can do it with boldness. Because Christ was bold and he was gentle at the same time. And right when the Lord was making a final point in the prayer, right before I was going to just roll over and say, nighty-night, the whole room lit up. Like lightning hit or something. like the heat lightning where there's no thunder kind of a thing. I go, whoa, what was that? Because I came in through that the window that was facing north. And so I kind of rolled over and looked up. I could see stars. So either what was lightning or the light of his presence or a falling star. I don't know what it was, but the whole room lit up right when that prayer finished. It's like a hug from heaven. And some of you have told me the exact same stuff has been happening to you. No, not exact same, like falling stars or whatever, but his hand is moving in this church and he's moving it for a reason. But at the same time, somebody in this church family, maybe more than one of us, are having an issue with watching YouTube videos or porn or whatever. You know, useless stuff. Maybe there's stuff you can get on YouTube that you can watch, like educational stuff, like Is Genesis History, where they're exposing the lies about evolution. Boy, there's a ton of videos there. As a matter of fact, I just got an email. They just put up a new one, and I hope it's just not them saying it's a new one, and it's an old one I've watched 10 times already, you know. So, praise his name. She goes on to say that the living Christian will be filled with cheerfulness and peace because he lives as seeing him who is invisible. That's something the atheists can't handle. They can't see him the way we see him. And then she says, and those who see Christ in his true character have within them the elements of everlasting life. You know, because they are the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruptions that are in the world through lust. Think about that, brothers and sisters. I remember when I was a young man, I was afraid to die like anybody else. But now it's like, how dare you threaten me with, you know, taking a nap. I can get away from all this. I mean, sure, it would be nice if we all found Christ, got baptized, and died. And then escape, not go through all this stuff. I can't remember. One of the brothers in the faith put a quote in the room recently, about a month or so ago, if I recall. I think I was listening to a preacher online that I'm watching to see just how off the path he's going to go, because there was a couple of things. And I have sent them comments, and they're very receptive. And so, you know, hopefully it'll turn out to where we'll literally form a friendship. Finally found somebody that kind of is like 99% on the same page we are, but they just didn't realize this about the latter rain or that or whatever. But there was a statement, the way that Sister White stated or said something in regards to how some of us are going to lose loved ones in the coming days. I think she even mentioned them being little ones, like children, little ones, because they're not going to be able to handle what's coming. Don't let that shake your faith. They're blessed to be able to just take a nap, because they're going to get up again. That's the problem with the world. They make everybody think, death, oh, it's done, that's it, goodbye. You know, yeah, we'll say he's in heaven or he's in a better place now, but they don't really believe that. I mean, how many of us have been to funerals and says, oh, he's in a better place now? And when they say that to me, if I go to a funeral, says, you know, we need to talk. He doesn't even know, or she doesn't even know, they're dead. And I go through a couple of scriptures and show them. Says, you need to stop saying that. But they're going to get up again if they're believers. And that's the elements of everlasting life. Death doesn't scare us anymore. Kill us, fine, yeah. I'll get up again and then it's done. I don't have to deal with any of the crud. From the day you killed me to the day I rise, I don't have to deal with all the crud you're doing to everybody else. But that's selfish. And so, if the Lord wants me to die, fine, I'll take a martyr's death, like any of us in his church family would. But at the same time, if I got something he needs me to do, or wants me to do, rather, he doesn't really need me. There's 9 billion people on the planet he could choose from. But if there's something he wants me to do, or any of us to do, I'm thinking it's best we do it. Rather than getting all selfish, you know, I can remember years ago, I remember when I was a young man, something was being delivered that I bought, and I really wanted it, and, you know, I was, like, idolizing it and all that other crud, but it was going to take 2-3 weeks to get to me because it didn't have Amazon back in the day, right? And I'm thinking, you know, would it be great if all of a sudden I went to a coma, woke up the day that thing was delivered? You know, I wouldn't have to deal with all this waiting. That's selfishness on top of everything else. And especially if you're, you know, a dad or a mom, you know, like, it'd be selfish to say, you know, I really don't want to go through what's coming. Well, the 1 Corinthians 10:13 is believed by you, and you can't handle it, you're going to take a nap. But if you can handle it and he can use you, yeah, you're going to glorify him. And you're not going to have any fear, any anxiety, any concern whatsoever. You might have concern for loved ones that aren't ready. Obviously, we all do. So going on, Jesus said, and then she quotes him, "This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And then the last paragraph I'm going to share, paragraph 8. Same Review and Herald, January 30th, 1894, but now it's paragraph 8. And this is the last one, so. See how long, ooh, wow, that came in quick that time. It says this: "All spiritual life is derived from Jesus Christ." And then she quotes his word, which says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." See, this isn't that statement, that scripture isn't put in there just because the Bible needed to be a little thicker this year. That was in there to let us know that, yeah, we will receive this power, especially when the latter rain comes. The early rain is already upon us, those of us that believe. You know, the Holy Spirit in your heart right now. And the sad thing is, there's going to be billions of Christians out there with the Holy Spirit that when we come up to them with that final warning about blaspheming the Holy Ghost by accepting the mark, they're going to lose the Holy Ghost and become reprobate and guaranteed damnation. They're going to lose that Holy Spirit. And this includes those Baptists out there that think they're once saved, always saved. Because that's a lie from Satan to get them to think that, yeah, well, you know, I've accepted Christ as Savior. I'm going to go out and slam a few, you know, beers or whatever. Again, all spiritual life is derived from Christ. "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." But what is the sure result of becoming a child of God? The result is that we become laborers together with God. There is a great work to be done from your own soul's salvation, or for your own soul salvation, and to qualify you to win others from unbelief to a life sustained by faith in Christ Jesus. Think about that. We're here for a reason. Our children know more than theologians do. Out of the mouths of babes. It's no mistake that Art Linkletter did that thing back in the 50s where his kids say the darndest things. Remember that? For those of us who are older. Kids are blunt. They'll just point out, say it sometimes, and it's absolute truth sometimes, and it'll just make you chuckle. And that's why he would put it on there. But sometimes it's like, whoa, did you hear what that kid just said? It's absolute. Then she quotes the word, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me with a casual faith?" No. "With an abiding faith that works by love and purifies the soul, hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." And eat in the prophecy means study. Bread is scripture. He is the word made flesh. That's where he's going with this. He says, "I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world," which means he'll let them kill him on a cross. And then he says, "Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man." If you don't study the word, he says, that's where he's going with this. See, the atheist can't understand this because he's not going to get doctrinal understanding unless he obeys the guy who wrote it. Same thing with anybody else out there. It doesn't matter if they're atheist or not. They're just not going to get that. That's why when you get to the bottom of this chapter, which obviously is John chapter 6, when you get to verse 66, they stopped walking to him. It's a hard thing. We can't handle this. He wants to eat him like a cannibal. But they knew he was saying something different. They were saying that for the benefit of the crowd, so this to confuse them to walk away from him as well. So again, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And the blood, of course, that was spilled. And that's why at the supper, when we do our communion, we have the unfermented wine most people call grape juice to represent his blood, because fermentation means it would have rotted to some extent, and Christ had no sin in his body. So much so he couldn't even be held in the grave. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Let me backtrack a little more just for the sake of context, because he's such an amazing king. Think about that. He's a king, and he let them kill him. That's how much he loves them, all of us. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing, because it's all going to rot and die anyway. Even 144,000 are going to go from dead, you know, walking dead, you know, because everybody's dying. Everybody on this planet's got a fatal disease called aging. And so even 144,000, when that day comes, are going to be standing there in a mortal body and go from mortal to immortal in the twinkling of an eye. The rest, yeah, they come out of the graves. But 144,000 are going to have an understanding that we pray is our, that most of us, if not all, I would hope, are in that number. To be able to go through those plagues without the least bit of issue whatsoever. Trust him 100%. Trust, trust, trust. And that's what he was telling me the other night. He says, you remember how all of a sudden you had that trust for me? You had no doubt in your mind that everything was going to be great. And, you know, if you had to go to jail, it was because somebody needed to hear the message. And you had perfect peace. The fear left. The anxiety left. All of it left. Yeah, same thing is going to happen when that latter rain falls. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh ain't going to do that. The flesh ain't going to quicken you. It's going to kill you eventually because it's aging. And then he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. That's how much he loves us. That's how much the Father loves us. The Father provides. The Holy Spirit's our guide. And Jesus is the one that died for us. What a God we worship. He just doesn't do it willy-nilly. He asks his Son. And then the Holy Spirit, Melchizedek, literally steps in and helps out as well. So that, you know, because you know Jesus gave up omnipresence when he came down here to die for us. But the Holy Spirit can have omnipresence. He can be in every one of our hearts like he is right now. He can be out there in Timbuktu, Timbuktu 1. He could be anywhere on this planet. In multiple places at once. But the day is coming when he's only going to be in 144,000 locations. That's in the hearts of the obedient Gideon band that step into the plagues. And I hope and pray that each and every one of us are in that number. And what a Sabbath day is this. So again, I hope and I pray that everyone was blessed this Sabbath day, from the children's story to now. We worship an amazing God. And he literally lets us know he loves us back. Little hugs from heaven. That's all we need. We don't even need that, in fact. We got his word. But he goes out of his way sometimes to do these extra things. Every babe I've ever talked to says, I didn't know it was going to be like this. I remember Tim. Tim is the guy that used to be a Satanist, right? And some of the things and that he was witnessing, some old guy comes up and gives him money for an alternator when his van broke down out of the blue. And Tim's the kind of guy who would smack you upside the head for even talking to you or talking to him back in the day. He was a violent man. It's amazing how much Jesus can change a heart. And amen, Brother Arthur. The hugs are nice, too. Amen to that. So, anyway, 7 o'clock tonight, everybody. Don't forget, 7 o'clock on the nose is when we start praying. And I hope and pray that the people that are on WTPR Live are actually able to get in there, because I just noticed when I redesigned that little streamer, I forgot to put it up to 500 limit. But I kind of like did it an unorthodox way just now. Well, an hour ago. without restarting it, because I didn't want to lose everybody that's in there. And we've gone over 200, and so well over. I was concerned that it was going to, because people were not able to get in last week when I got to 199 for the amount of families. And that's just the live one. That's not the old WTP. That one always seems to sit low, but that's fine. You know, on church, a few people still like to go to the old one. I said, all right, we'll simulcast then. But, and praise God that Twitch worked, because it kept dropping frames and all of a sudden it got better. So I'm going to get off and go get me something to eat. Again, 7 o'clock tonight. For those of you that want to join us, I misplaced it. Let me see if it's still in my, oh, it can't be. You know, those things that are in there. All the quotes. Let me, there it is. Okay. I'm going to put the camp meeting thing back in the room for people to RSVP. And for those of you on WTPR, it's remnantofgod.org/campmeeting.html. Yeah, I know I used the L this time, but, you know, it's new software and I'll eventually, it's not a permanent page. That's why I didn't care. Because it's just an RSVP, but it's in the room right now. And why it's got the 3 W's on there, I don't know. I don't usually use those anymore. Now that I got security built in, I don't need them. So let me just check this text in case. Sister. Okay, well, God bless you, sister. She says there's no sound on her end. Oh, she's at a hot spot. Yeah, you're not. It's going to get choppy at a hot spot. Okay, I'm going to send her a heart. There we go. All right, Sister Phyllis. Okay, let's see what else we got. Okay, nothing. Okay, those are just normal alarms for me. So 7 o'clock tonight. We'll see everybody for an 8 to 10 minute prayer meeting. And then after that, we're going to go into Christ our righteousness again. So, and Brother Joe, you want to start playing the music right now when I get off of here? I'm going to reboot the streamer that I'm using for audio on WTPR, because I don't want to take the chance of it going past the 500 limit because of the way the cache ain't working right and it keeps on piling stuff on top. So, those of you on WTPR, I'm going to double click, which means I'm going to turn off RadioCaster, and then turn it back on really quick to get it to take the new settings. Well, let me just make sure that the settings are crammed in there. Okay. Yep, it's in there. Okay, so I put 500. No, you know, I'm going to go back. Hold on. I'm not going to deal with this again if it happens again, because the Lord keeps sending people. I'm going to make it 999. Oops, wrong keyboard. Got to get used to this. $9.99. Okay. Hit finish. Hit OK. Okay, now it's saying it's going to do a reconnect. And so the number is going to go down drastically because some of the people already left. But if you fall out, just come back in. Especially at 7 o'clock. So. But before I do that, those of you that are on Twitch, God bless you. See you tomorrow. See you next Friday night, Sabbath Eve. Hope and pray that you were blessed. Sabbath blessings. God bless. Love you. Okay, that's gone. Okay. So, and I still got a few PMs I got to do over here on the text chat, so I'll still be here, but I'm not going to be, you're just going to hear music here in a minute. So, God bless everybody. Love you. See you tonight.